no one in their right mind, I don't care what project he presents.
Hey, this is what I do.
Even the rooster was happy to work with him. Come on. He's jumping in the front seat.
I want to make a movie where I talk about naming my cock.
I'm going to have lots of cock jokes with the rooster. It's going to be amazing.
The whole movie's going to be cock jokes, right?
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Hello, Teddy. Man, we're back with vengeance.
Hey.
It's been a little while.
Hey, Jim, how are you? But it feels like, you know, we've seen each other a few times in person and
unmasked hugging
families with other families in houses.
Oh, God. I know. We avoided Delta.
I only fly Southwest, so that's what I do.
Is that what it is? Is that what it is? What happened to Continental with their 70s brown?
I know.
Right? Okay, so we're
drinking the same beer today.
Homebrew. So I pulled mine off the keg. I've never bottled off a keg before. So you have like, what, 2-3 weeks worth of me giving you beer?
I know. It's been great.
I mean, the bottle's sealed.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming it's still carbonated. I will feel awful if it's not, but it's cold and I'm sure the flavor's good if it's
cold and delicious.
Oh.
But let's try. Let's listen.
I'm so nervous. I really hope it's carbed.
Okay, let's listen to the carb from this beautiful bottle here. Ready?
Ooh, I don't know.
No, uh-oh. I don't know. Uh-oh. We'll see.
Go get an ice cube. I don't even know what that means.
Oh. All right, you got a vigorous pour. Oh yeah, look, it's got some.
Oh, there's head.
Yep.
Oh, look at that! It held. Oh my God, I'm so happy. Oh my goodness, how big that.
Look at that.
It held for like 3 weeks. Oh man, that's a sealed bottle right there.
I know.
And you poured the whole thing?
Yeah, I'm going to, but yes.
Sweet.
I wanted to show you the little.
Oh, I'm so happy. I've been sweating it for like 3 weeks thinking, what if it's not carbonated?
Oh, it's beautifully carbonated.
Oh, that's
awesome.
It's like
little nitro bubbles even.
I love it. I think yours might be more than what I have. Okay, so now that you have sweet carb, what do you think of the flavor? Homebrew.
Yeah, the homebrew flavor is amazing. Again, you know, I think this is our typical note. It's mellowed a little bit since we had it in person.
Sure. Yeah, it's been 3 weeks.
I don't wanna, just like Indian food, a couple of days, you know, a couple of days in Indian food.
You would know.
And or a couple of weeks in this, when the flavors kind of sit together and commingle, they get heightened, you know? It's kind of a synergy, 1 + 1 = 3 kind of stuff.
Indian food, spaghetti sauce, and my homebrew. Is that what you're telling
Things
me?
Things that get better, more flavorful as the flavors come together.
Awesome. So overall, though, you're digging it.
Love it.
Awesome. Yeah, good.
And this is the one that's that high IBU, right?
Oh, it's north of 100.
Yeah, it's nice. It's a nice sharp. It has a sharpness to it, even though some of the underlying flavors have mellowed together. But it still has that sharp bitter chocolate.
Yeah, and it's roughly 9%. I think it's like off the top of my head, it's like 8.9% alcohol.
And this has cacao nibs, right? You said
cacao nibs and bourbon oak.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, good. I'm glad it worked out, man. Oh, I was so worried. You have no idea. For 3 weeks, I'm like, the next show, the beer's going to be flat.
Oh, we waited too long. It's fine.
Yeah, you know, and so that's a good experiment, though, because that's the first time I ever bottled off a keg.
Yeah. I mean, you bottled a bunch, but we drank it like the weekend you came up. So you didn't, not going to lose that much.
Yeah. I mean, like I bottled it and literally hours later we drank it. So
you bottled it, you drove up, drove down, and then.
Yeah. I bottled it. We drove there and we pounded.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not pounded or too good to pound, but yeah. Okay. So we've had, I don't know, number of weeks off, a month off.
I'd say a month off. Yeah.
You have traveled to Hawaii and back. We've been here.
Did 2 weeks in Hawaii, yeah.
Yeah, 2 weeks in Hawaii. My mom has been, paid us a visit and has traveled back to Chicago.
Did you take her back to Chicago in the front of the Urban Arrow? Because that would not be very comfortable.
She, you know, the funny thing is, so I said, Mom, hop in, we'll go for a bike ride. She was really reluctant. She said, I don't know about that, you know, because, you know, she's mid-70s at this point.
Yeah.
So she, I said, just climb in. We'll go, because the boys and Clarissa were at the park, local, you know, the local park.
Yeah.
So I said, just climb in. We'll go find them. So reluctantly, she gets in.
Uh-huh.
And so we go off and riding. I mean, we're not down the driveway. And she's like, this is so much fun. Woo-hoo! And she's just loving it. I took her all over the neighborhood. She's checking out everybody's landscaping. She's going around here and there. And just like, I said, all right, let's head back yet. She goes, can we go around the block one more time? And
You need to get a little cover, and you could be your own like rickshaw driver. you could put it on Uber. You could Uber people. That'd be amazing. Uber Urban Arrow.
That would be amazing. But there's this organization called Cycling Without Age, and what they do is let me back up. They started in Copenhagen.
Okay.
And what it is, it's an organization that goes to like old folks' homes. They pick up like 90-year-old people,
yeah,
in front-loading cargo bikes, and they ride them around. And what they do is, you know, it's kind of like that pleasure of bicycling that the old people had but can no longer bicycle.
Yeah, it's the wind in your hair with none of the responsibility.
Exactly. The wind in your hair with no effort.
Right.
Is what it boils down to. And so I told my mom, I said, oh my God, it's Cycling Without Age, you know? And she's like, this is great. I love it. You know? So yeah, that was a lot of fun. I mean, she loved riding in the front of the bike. And it's funny though, you get like a 75-year-old woman who's completely reluctant until you get her going.
Right.
And she's like, I never want to drive a car again. This is fantastic, you know?
And when she's like, she's talking about that, the basket she has to get into. Can we cut the side out and make a no step?
Oh, no, she totally leapt over the side, flying over, you know. I'm like, well, at least you're still like agile and everything.
Exactly.
You know, let's rock and roll. And she's like, and then Clarissa, of course, is taking pictures of us riding around, and my mom's waving and totally. I mean, she was like a 12-year-old.
That's awesome.
It was so amazing. So yeah. Just to finish that one out, so she was here, paid us a visit for about 10 days, you know, spent time with the boys. I went to work because I'm back at work now, you know, school's back in session, everything. Clarissa has always been at work, so she, you know, working in healthcare as an RN, especially through COVID.
Nonstop.
She's just in the front lines of the battlefield.
Yeah.
And then my mom's here, though, so she's just hanging out with the kids, getting them ready for school. They're practicing reading, writing, and math. And she's like bacon and brownies and I don't know, whatever grandmas do. And, and yeah, it was awesome though. So she, you know, it was sad to see her leave.
Right.
We wanted her to stay another week.
Uh-huh.
And, but you know, she had to get back and all that good stuff.
And you guys are crunched down to the one bathroom now, or no? Did you have half of that bathroom?
Well, we have our powder room, toilet, and sink.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And we have the
one and a half.
Yeah. The bathroom off of our shower or off of our bedroom to shower in. And I'm remodeling the hallway shower at the moment. So you guys were on Kauai and Maui, is that right?
We did a week in Kauai and a week in Maui.
Okay.
And First time in Hawaii, as we said before we left.
Ever.
First time ever.
Awesome.
And the Maui thing came together super late. Last minute, we kind of upgraded to that from Oahu just to get the one bedroom. You know, like the one bedroom is critical to me. I just, you know what I mean? If you're on vacation, I don't like a week in the same room with both the kids, you know.
With a 15 and a 12-year-old or whatever.
15 and a 12-year-old, you know, and the wife and myself. It's a little much for for that, even though, you know, we're just sleeping in there, whatever. But still, just get a little space.
And that was the beauty of going to Monterey this past summer. We were...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We were in a like, hotel-ish sort of a room. I don't even know what you'd call it, but it was like a little resorty thing. And me and Clarissa had our own room, and the boys had their room like in the main area.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, it was nice. You shut the door. They could do whatever they do, and mom and dad do what mom and dad do, and you know, that's what that's how it plays out, right?
Earmuffs, Brycey, earmuffs if you're listening to this. Because mom and dad,
you doing push-ups, Ted?
Only every 6 months. That's what we told them.
Every 6 months.
But yeah, so it was great.
I don't even know what that means, and I'm laughing.
So Kauai was our favorite. I mean, both islands, you know, were just amazing and so different. And never again will I think of Hawaii as like a monolith of one thing out there in the middle of the Pacific, because each island was so unique.
Oh, they're so different. Different climates. I mean, everything. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it rained every day in Kauai and we loved it. And then it was like almost as dry as, you know, Los Angeles in Maui for the most part. Until we did the road to Hana.
Okay.
And I don't know if you did the road to Hana, the 600.
Never been to Maui, though. Never been to Maui.
Oh, 621 curves in the road to Hana.
Wow. Is that like a 12-hour drive or something?
Yeah, exactly. Treacherous 12-hour drive.
Oh, jeez.
And that's with all this. That's without, we skipped like half a dozen stops.
So did the guidebook say 621 curves, or did like Bryce count them all?
Bryce was sleeping in the convertible getting sunburn on his face.
Oh, you guys said, oh, that's right. What was the convertible? What kind of car was it?
I got a Camaro convertible.
I thought so. This guy would have Camaro. What are you doing?
And I said, give me a red one, because I'll never buy a red car, but I'll rent. I'll get a little rental of a red car.
Was it a V8?
It was pretty nice. It was, you know, it was a fully souped, you know, Camaro.
Oh, jeez. Throaty exhaust, the whole nine.
The first part of it, because we reversed the road to Hana to avoid traffic. Everybody was talking about traffic jams. There's going to be traffic jams.
You did the reverse commute.
We did the reverse commute. You could, since it was a loop, you could do a loop.
Oh,
he said,
okay.
We'll just start on the low end, the southern end, and we'll come back around. Most people do the northern route.
But, okay, let me ask, though. So you're going to do the southern starting point, and most people do the northern starting point. How do you get there to do – so do you take another road or something, or another highway, or how do you get to it?
I mean, it's a loop. It's a loop around the volcano, about the massive volcano in the middle. So, and you know, you could road the Hana. Hana's on the other side of the island.
Okay.
But there's a northern route to it and a southern route to it.
Yeah, but how do you get to the road itself, though?
Yeah, it's a full loop around the island.
I'm so confused.
So I'm at a hotel.
So you're at the hotel. For lack of a better way, the counterclockwise route.
Yeah. Yes.
And everybody does the clockwise route.
Yes.
How do you get to the road to do the clockwise or counterclockwise? Where are you starting from? Where's your hotel?
Yeah, the hotel's in.
It's not on the road.
The hotel is like, it's off on the little head part. You know, you've seen Maui. It's like a head and a body.
Okay.
And there's just, it's just a whole beltway. It's just
a
loop. Yeah, I'll show you a map later.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a whole loop. So because it's a whole loop, I think you're probably thinking of Kauai, where they couldn't finish the road because of the cliffs and stuff.
Well, yeah, and the Nepali Coast and all that stuff.
So there's only the Nepali Coast was amazing.
Oh, it's incredible, isn't it?
We stayed up in Princeville, And even just tonight, Anne was just laying on the sofa and we're watching a movie and she's like, I want to go back to Kauai.
Oh, yeah, we were there. We did three on Oahu. You may as well go to Santa Monica. It's no different.
I mean, the only thing we want to see in Oahu is Pearl Harbor.
Pearl Harbor was awesome.
You got to do it, you know?
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, Kauai was just like gorgeous. We were there for a week.
Did you go see the different beaches? Because they had closed a lot of black sand and pink sand beaches. You had to make reservations before the day of your trip. So we kind of missed out on a lot of those.
Was that because of COVID?
Because of COVID. Because
Because I would say we saw a bunch of that stuff. I mean,
yeah.
But that was, I mean, that was 2006.
Exactly. But the best beach I saw, my favorite beach was the Gilligan's Island beach. Did you hear about this?
Yes.
They shot the first season of Gilligan's Island on Kauai in this little cove in the middle of nowhere. And there's little houses around there. And I'm like, we could buy one of these houses, you know, we come up with like 10 friends with $200,000 and we could.
It's $1 million. It's $2 million.
$2 million for like a house that's up on stilts and has like
a shack,
three bedroom shack kind of thing. Two bedroom shack
for $2 million.
But you put some bunk beds in there. You could VRBO and Airbnb that thing for a lot throughout the year.
Yeah. I mean, you got to look at the break even. What is it like? The break even's like 10 years. Bam.
Yeah. 10 years. And then, you know, you and your nine family friends have a place to go, and it's a real timeshare, not like a timeshare in a hotel. It's
exactly
like,
exactly. Ted's gonna be selling me, like, you know, he's gonna be giving away drinks just so I could give him my time or something.
Well, nobody's gonna ever have to rent a Camaro if they do this, because we're gonna buy the Commander or whatever, it's the Renegade and the four door. I forget what it's called now. I think it's the Commander, but it's that four door pickup truck Jeep. Everybody drives that all over both islands. So I said that we'll buy it, we'll put it at the house, and it'll be part of like the little rental that you get when you go there.
And then ride the Urban Arrow on down to the market.
Exactly.
So cool.
Exactly.
I'm glad you had a good trip.
So yeah, so we're planning our next trip. Yeah, we're planning our next trip. We bought all new luggage now. We're ready for
What's your next trip?
We don't know. I think the kids want to go to Canada. Kids want to go to Canada for Christmas.
Dude, I'll tell you what. And I think you might have been there, but one of my favorite places was Amsterdam.
I've been there, yes. And I think Anne has been there. We've both been there prior to us getting together.
Oh, okay. You've never been there together.
No, I think I was there when I was like 10 or 12.
Oh, because your dad's a cartographer.
Yeah.
Right. The things you learn about your buddy, right? Another cool thing your kids might like, but it's only like a 2-day-ish side trip, was Bruges, Belgium.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Bruges was amazing.
No, Belgium was one of my favorite spots when I was 10 or whatever.
That's code for go there and drink beer. Oh, the beer in Belgium.
Oh, my God. Clams, fries, and a little white beer, you know, a little wheat beer.
I mean, all their beer. Like, we, you know, Bruges and Ghent, and we were a few places in Belgium. And the thing is, like, the beer, you'd ask for like a beer list or something. They would bring you like what looked like the Bible. And then you just look at it and you look at the table next to you and go, I'll just have that. And no matter what you chose, it was like the best beer you ever had since the best beer you ever had. It was so amazing. So.
I mean, I still love Hoegaarden. Hoegaarden's a preferred white beer of mine from back in the day. So
yeah, no, Hoegaarden's. I mean, they're good, all solid. They're beer. All so good. They are all so good. And some of them you've heard of. I mean, obviously like Chimay's and things, but mm-hmm. others you never hear of. And it's like every beer is just as good, if not better, than the last one.
You can't go wrong. Can't go wrong with the beers.
And of course you're in Europe, so you don't have to pay those like import prices.
Uh-huh.
And it's like €3 for what you'd pay like $16 here. So like essentially like $3.50. Like it's just amazing. It's amazing.
Well, we should turn this into a travel podcast, and then we can write that off.
Yeah, and then you'll have to give me, like, luggage reviews. And...
Oh, okay, so one luggage review, I will say.
Oh, God, here we go.
Travel Pro. We did a cost, you know, you start looking for luggage on Instagram or Facebook or something like that, and you just start getting served up every luggage company that comes your way.
The ads just start flowing.
The ads are just, they're phenomenal. And the, you know, and the prices are astronomical, and you're just like looking at this thing and you're like, well, you want something that's going to last, so you can't just, you know, you can't bargain basement it, you know, because if you...
And then you're like, what does Rick Steves have to say about this?
Who's that? I don't even know who that is.
Rick Steves? What?
Is that a travel a blogger?
He's like the European travel guru.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Well, I will tell you, the highest rated thing that I've saw was Travel Pro. So we got the low-end Max Light.
Are these backpacks or anything?
No, they're just a little spinner, you know, spinner carry-on and spinner medium. We have luggage from when we got married.
Okay.
So 19-year-old luggage that still works, you know what I mean? It's amazing luggage. But we got massive bags.
Yeah.
And they were every time you would fill that bag, it's over 50 pounds. You know, I think the weight requirement back in the day was either 75 or 65. So it was easily 65 every time we put anything in it. So,
wow.
So now traveling, it's like you travel and you have to travel with extra bag because you got to end up throwing some stuff out of there because their scales are a little different than your scales. So they're like, step aside and you can do this.
Yeah, let me give you a brief, and this is to everybody out in Trailer Junkies land too, all the junkies out there.
All the junkies for life, yes.
Let me give you a brief rundown on how we do things. So okay. We have these little Tortuga backpacks.
Uh-huh.
Carry-on only.
Okay.
So we check nothing. And I have my little, what I call cabmers, so camera bag man purse.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, so I have my... camera, you know, all my little stuff is in the cabmers. We have our backpacks. Everything gets carried on. We, like I said, we check nothing. It's all tiny. We roll it all. We get it all in there. I mean, we might be like 15 pounds by the time it's all said and done. I mean, we travel super light. We don't bring anything. It's like we'll go for like 3-4 weeks or something, like to Europe or wherever we go.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, I wear a pair of pants, I stow a pair of pants, I think I might have a pair of shorts, but I don't do shorts because when you see shorts, that's a giveaway that you're American. And we try and dress as Euro as possible.
Right,
and then
right.
And then we claim we're Canadians.
Okay.
But yeah, so we got to like put the whole like the ugly American thing to rest.
Yeah.
No gym shoes.
I know what I do? I got a Greek... a passport cover.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I put that on my American passport so that, you know, it's all in Greek on the outside. It's
yeah.
Got the Greek crest on it, but it's just the plastic cover.
It's all about fooling them. It's all about fooling them, right? Because I don't know why, but everybody wants to be us, but everybody hates us. So like when you travel, you just have to pretend like your world isn't the world you came from.
Right.
And then everybody like, wants to, but then they hear your accent, you know, and they're like, oh, where are you from? And then you say California, and all of a sudden people like they lose their minds. Oh my God, that's where everything comes from. You guys are so lucky. And it's like, yeah, it's not like I know like the Google dudes or anything,
right?
You know?
Exactly.
It's like, yeah, but no, I'm telling you though, carry on only,
okay,
travel light. From my experience anyway, whenever you need to, you know, you got to get a cab, you need to get an Uber, you need to do anything you need to do, they're going to see like massive bags and everybody drives past. Nobody wants to pick you up. And I can't tell you how many times I've been lost in, you know, some city.
Uh-huh.
Coming off the train. I can't find where I'm going. The last thing I want to do is lug around tons of luggage.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I love the spinners. That's why we're so happy to finally all have spinners. So they roll.
I'll have to check that out. Yeah, send me a link to that. I'm curious.
Yeah. And then I wanted to just get the carry-ons so we could, but I like to check the carry-on. I like to get the biggest carry-on possible and then check it just so you don't have to like drag it around the airport.
Yeah, yeah.
And like I said, I as much as I can, I do Southwest. So you get two bags for free with that per person. So you get two bags for free and two, a carry-on item and a personal item.
Yeah, because Southwest, if you're flying domestic especially, Southwest has their not good baggage price. They don't charge anything.
Right, right. It's built into their price a little bit, but their prices are still competitive. So yeah,
exactly.
So
it's a good
thing.
Travel talk with Jim and Ted. All right, man. So let's jump into Star Wars Visions.
I know. Are you excited? This is amazing stuff.
So here's the thing. I look at my phone.
Uh-huh.
Like, I get up to plug in my phone, 5:30 this morning, whatever.
Right, right.
I plug it in, and all I see is this red laser beam, and I see Vision. I yell it. Well, I didn't yell, but I quietly say to Clarissa across the kitchen, because the boys are sleeping.
Right.
Oh my God, there's a Vision trailer. Because I was thinking Marvel Vision, right?
You're already in a mode. Yeah.
He's like shooting the laser out of the headstone or whatever, or the mind stone, And so then I get to work. Well, maybe I shouldn't say this, but anyway, I get to work.
You're allowed to take breaks at work.
That's true. Yeah.
Come on. So it's 2 minutes. You can watch it.
All right, let me watch this trailer, And I'm like, oh, it's Star Wars Vision or Visions.
Visions, yeah.
So I watch it Japanese with English subtitles.
Oh, it's so good.
First thought. I'm going to put English dubbing on this thing, man.
If it's available.
You don't think it's available?
If it's available, some of the best anime out there has no dubbing. They just do the subtitles only. And then, part of the reason I did this is because Bryce has hit quite the anime phase of his life, and he is big into anime.
I never got into it.
I never got into it either. He's big into anime. He's big into manga.
Yeah, manga. Right.
So he reads the books. He watches the stuff.
Like the manga graphic novels?
Yeah. And I'm here. I'm trying to police it. I'm trying to make sure it's age appropriate. But stuff that looks age appropriate, like I watched an episode of something, and then in the middle of this episode that looks completely innocuous, there's a horror piece, and this guy with a bag over his head turns around, and it's horror movie. And I'm like, what are you watching, dude? You're never gonna sleep again. Turn this off.
Well, I think manga is horror anime.
Well, it's all of it. It's just the written anime.
There's kids I work with and stuff, and they'll talk about anime, manga, and all this. And then whether girls or boys, it's irrelevant. But they'll say oh, I love this, whatever the characters are, right?
Yeah, Naruto.
So I'm sitting in my office. I'm like, oh, okay, so let me look this up.
It's blocked.
And no. I could get to it. And it's some anime chick in a bustier.
Oh, yeah.
With a corset, I'm just what on earth? You're going to get me fired, what are you doing to me over here?
Tell me not safe for work, all right? When you're sharing that stuff.
But yeah, I don't know. It's because it sounds like it's 9 episodes, because it says 9 stories or something.
Oh, yeah. So they're 9 standalone.
Exactly.
Within the universe of Star Wars. I mean, the best kind of stuff. This is the ultimate extension of the universe. I think.
Well, yeah, you're in a new country now.
You're in a new country. You're in a new space. You get to explore another far, far away place, And I just think it's amazing. The original Star Wars trilogy was taken from a samurai kind of look. Darth Vader has a samurai kind of look. Lightsabers or swords like samurais.
With his samurai helmety thing and all that. Right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like a cross between World War II and samurai.
Sure.
And it has the Jedis have a code, the same way samurais and knights have codes. So, I mean, this is kind of full circle. It's you have a world that was initially influenced by the samurai stories of ancient times. And then, the myths and all the things of, Joseph Campbell. And then now we're bringing it back to a place where the people can then riff on the thoughts of this universe that was created and loved. So it's amazing. I can't wait for it. And I feel like this trailer, you know, is just so high energy and just matches the excitement of the genre and the excitement of fanboys. And the, you know, I don't think I've heard anything bad about this.
Well, it looks super cool. It definitely plays into that anime style, you know, the facial expressions, how they do the big eyes, the big mouth kind yeah. of anime style and so on. I don't know, like, if there's no English dubbing, I don't know if I want to read 9 episodes to my kids. You know, we do that in movies where whatever you're watching, right? They'll have somebody speaking Spanish, somebody speaking German, somebody speaking whatever they're speaking. You'll see it in the Marvel movies and such, where they'll have like a few scenes until they, you know, kind of how Hunt for Red October did.
Right.
Where they'll show the Russian dubbing.
Oh, the beginning. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you're to assume he's still speaking Russian throughout the movie.
They just gently slip into
English.
English with a Russian accent.
Exactly. Or a British accent or something, because it's Sean Connery.
What was the and Valkyrie does it too. Remember the yeah. Tom Cruise Valkyrie movie? I thought they right. do that with German, and it was just like the transition is always so interesting that they're trying to do a Jedi mind trick on you about, like, they're still speaking in their native language, only now you understand them. You know what I mean?
Somehow I just learned German. And then you go, like, to Germany and you're just like, I know. Wait, why don't I understand you? So, you know, I read to my kids whenever that stuff comes on, because it, I know, like, Tim can read. Mike's like
right.
emerging as a reader.
On the cusp, yeah.
And Tim can read, but it's like, I know he's not reading that fast. And some of the words they use might be bigger than what he's, you know.
I can't read that fast, all right? Like, my kids read to me. I'm like, read that to me, Bryce. I can't see it. It's too far away, and it's too fast. I don't know.
And you don't know how many times, like, we're watching movies, and I keep pausing ugh. To give me time. Because it's not just about reading it, but it's, like, reading it. And then you're, like, wanting to, like, digest what they're saying, looking at the visual on the screen.
Right.
And like, shit's flying by so fast that I'm just like, I don't know. I'm lost. Clarissa,
right,
what?
Right, right.
You know, and then like, they're saying it. Ted Lasso, perfect example, right?
Mm-hmm.
I put on the subtitles. They're speaking, well, British English and Arkansonian English. I can't understand a damn word anybody says on Ted Lasso. And half the time, like, it flies by, and I'm like, Clarissa, what do you say? And she goes, aren't you reading it? And I said, yeah, I just read it.
I'm trying to do both.
But it's so fast, I can't keep up, you know? Like, I'm not as smart as you.
Clarissa, I'm chewing gum over here. I can't do everything, okay?
Well, typically it's Clarissa. I just took a sip of my beer. I missed that one. But overall, though, I mean, obviously, I mean, I think you're going to watch this Star Wars Visions.
We're going to watch it with a vengeance. We're gonna watch it, you know, the day it comes out. We're going to try to avoid the spoilers. But this is kind of a space where I don't think spoilers matter necessarily. So.
And what makes you say that? Because of the language differential?
The language differential, I mean, it feels like it's going to be canon, and yet it won't be fully, it's not going to be like an Easter eggy things. I don't think there's anticipation built into this world. You know what I mean?
Okay, you say canon. Do you think anything Star Wars has been released that's not canon?
No, I mean, you know, I guess there's
maybe some of the books or something.
Exactly. I was going to say the fan fiction, the book series that are, you know, that are out there. There's some, you know, Han Solo being married before Princess Leia. There's that.
Hey, spoiler alert.
There's that. I mean, it was a whole thing about whether this is going to be canon or not. And they had to like decide.
Wow.
The Lucas panel had to go and decide whether they're going to make this.
Never heard of series. This.
No, I'm just, I mean, I'm, I, there was, he was divorcee. and that was the big thing in this book series that was like, are they going to do it? Yeah, I don't think there is any, there's no video, there's no major series that's not canon.
Right, that's what I don't, I mean, September 22nd this comes out.
Great.
So we're looking at a month, like you said, probably canon. And, you know, if they have English subtitles, not English subtitles, English dubbing.
Yeah.
We'll probably watch if there's English dubbing. If not, I might have to wait a little bit until the younglings.
Wait until it gets the doubling. Dubbing.
What did you just say? Doublings?
Doublings, yes.
So, Ted, let me ask. Have you named your rooster?
Have I named my rooster?
Yeah.
On my Hydro Flask?
What?
Which rooster?
I don't know. Clint Eastwood doesn't care what a man names his cock. Right?
Macho. Macho is the name.
Yeah. Cry Macho, a new Clint Eastwood movie.
Cry Macho. So just as much as I'm excited, anticipated, you know, anticipating visions and loving that trailer, I had to throw in a Clint Eastwood for you to read my mind. We were a little out of practice, so I figured we've been away for this for a month. I want you to tell me what I think about this trailer.
Okay. What I think Ted Willett thinks of this trailer is, one, Clint Eastwood is getting old.
So old.
Clint Eastwood is, not only has he always been slow to you, but he's slower.
Oh, God, he's so slow.
He's slower. Three, his monologue throughout the trailer is his swan song to say, this is the end, I'm finished, because he goes in saying about how I'm an old guy, I'm not going to do anything anymore.
But he said that the last three movies he's done have been swan songs. Every single movie is like, I'm too old for this. And yes, you are.
You know what I think, Ted?
What?
I think he's surprising himself that he keeps living.
Now you're making me feel bad because I'm like, I think, and I, oh God, I hope to God no friends of the pod cut this, because the cutting of this, it's like Clint Eastwood cut the trailer himself, because it is so slow and just matches the pace of Clint Eastwood movies, of just like plodding along and just like showcasing Clint. And it's like, oh, we've done this for what? When was, I mean, Dirty Harry was 1970 something, right? Like
74 or something like that, right?
Yeah, the year I was born, and I'm old. My children say I'm old. So if he's been doing this from the 70s, that's a lot of decades to be making movies. And then the past 30 years, he's been making them himself, like directing, starring, everything. And and other actors love him. And he's, you know, he's going to go down as a great in the history of cinema. But I just can't with these anymore.
Dirty Harry, my birth year, 1971.
Okay, so even earlier.
Ugh. Yeah, 50 years ago. 50 years
he's been making movies.
Oh, no, but you go back to the 60s with The Man with No Name and the spaghetti westerns. I mean.
Oh, that's true. That's true. That's right. Even longer.
No, 1971 was probably
peak. It was peak Clint Eastwood.
It was peak Eastwood.
70, he peaked 50 years ago and he's still making movies. Oh, and people love it. And I'm so sorry. I just can't do it anymore.
Well, but the thing is, I mean, he's got, what is he, about 93 or something?
He was old when he was Dirty Harry.
Well, he was in his 40s. He was like 45. He was like your age.
Ugh.
When he did Dirty Harry.
Lucky bastard.
Okay, I want to see where you are when you're Clint Eastwood's age.
What I told Audrey, I said, Audrey, I'm putting you in charge. Anything close to, you know, me losing my faculties, like, pull the plug, baby. You know?
Here's the thing. I mean, losing his faculties. I think he's still sharp as a whip.
No, he is.
That guy, he's got it all. You know, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. He's doing what he wants to do. He has the money. He has the clout. He has the backing of Hollywood.
Right.
No one in their right mind, I don't care what project he presents.
Hey, this is what I want to do.
Even the rooster was happy to work with him. Come on. He's jumping in the front seat.
I want to make a movie where I talk about naming my cock.
I'm going to have lots of cock jokes with the rooster. It's going to be amazing.
The whole movie's going to be cock jokes, right? So that's
going to be a Clint Eastwood movie, right?
But here's the thing. Who in their right mind would say, Clint, no, I'm not doing this?
Yeah.
I mean, that is Hollywood suicide.
I mean, some producer out there is going, you know, every producer is going like, all right, well, maybe I'll be the one to say I produced the last Clint Eastwood movie. You know?
They could only hope. No, they're going into it saying, oh, God, I shouldn't even go down this path, but I will. Okay. They're going into it saying, sure, I'll do the last movie, thinking he'll knock off, and then they'll be the finishing director that'll springboard them into
their creative,
their directing career. So sadly, who's ever like the PA on this thing is like, this is my chance. All he has to do is die. You know, like, I don't know, man. But
the second unit AD is like, come on, we can do.
Yeah, the B roll, the B roll director is gonna be like, this is my chance. He's 95.
And he outlives them all, you know.
Totally.
The producer dies in the pool of a heart attack, and you know, he's God. Like, and he just.
And then Clint will look over. Young whippersnapper can't handle the stress. Oh man, cry Camacho. I mean, you know, here's the thing. Like, I am
no just cry enormous... macho. Cry macho.
What did I say?
You said cry Camacho, like a. Like a turned it into an alliteration.
Like he's a wrestler.
Yeah. Lucha like he's Libre. Luchador.
Yeah. Licho Libre or whatever they call
Nacho,
those guys.
Nacho Libre. Oh, yeah.
Is that it? Whatever it is. Yeah. The beer's good. You know, the thing is, throughout my life, I mean, I don't know life without Clint Eastwood movies. Okay. Let's start there. What was the orangutan ones?
BJ and the Bear?
No, not BJ.
No, Bandit, no. Bandit something?
No, that
Time
was...
Time Bandits? No.
What are you talking about? No. It was with his ex-wife.
Oh.
He had the... Oh my God. It'll come to me. As we finish out the episode, if I remember it, I'll just blurt it out.
Okay.
But so he's in like these like crazy movies, and good, bad, or indifferent, it doesn't even matter. I don't know life without Clint Eastwood. And every time a movie comes out, the boxing one, you know, great movie, totally boring. You know, they're so slow. And I think...
Yeah, Million Dollar Baby.
Million Dollar Baby, yeah. His movies, and I think you're spot on whenever you have Clint Eastwood critiques, is that his movies are just so slow, and they plot along, but there's always good dialogue. It's always a good story. And for some reason, because you don't know life without Clint Eastwood, you have some like sense of loyalty to him that you feel you need to watch to the end. I don't know what it is.
And then he's a giving director on top of it. You know, every actor that's ever worked for him says like, oh, and I, you know, and I felt like I had a good take and I wanted to do another take. And Clint would walk up to you and you just see every, you know, if you're like a crew, if you're like a grip on the set, you're just loving life because it's just everything slows down. And you're just like, and Clint walks over to the actor and is like, do you want another? Would you like another just for you? We can have just another take. If you just want another take just for you, just let it go. You know what I mean? And it's just like, oh my God, how nice and giving and how loving can this relationship be? And then, you know, they just go on for days. And he's like, Clint, we're supposed to shoot movies in like 3 months. He's like, oh, give me six. You know?
It's amazing. He started in 1955. I mean, what on earth is this guy doing?
I mean, he's waking up every day. Every day is a blessing. Every day is a gift. And I'm going to give everyone that I touch the gift of appreciation. And I'm just like, you know, as somebody who to his core cannot bring himself to watch a Clint Eastwood movie that he's made for the past 20 years since Space Cowboy, the last Clint Eastwood movie that I ever saw by choice. And I was like, since then, I've been like sworn off of it. And yet I have this amazing admiration for him and his craft and what he does and the way he works with people. It's just this amazing dichotomy that I have to like live with within myself. So it's all right.
And Ted, every which way but loose.
There you go. There it is.
was the orangutan movie.
And is there like a bow and arrow in there too or something?
No, wasn't it Firefox or something? He was like the secret plane pilot or something.
Oh, so Firefox was one of my favorite Clint Eastwood movies because it's like espionage and behind enemy lines. And
dude, I'm looking at his filmography right now. I mean, this guy has been in like everything. One of my favorite movies of all time is Kelly's Heroes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, 1970, man. Amazing. Amazing. Yeah, I mean, you know, whatever you think of Clint Eastwood, good, bad, or indifferent, I mean, he's been in...
Good, bad, or ugly.
Good, bad, or ugly. There you go. He's been, you know, I mean, a few dollars more. I mean, like, whatever. It doesn't even matter. The guy's been in, like, one amazing movie.
How many credits? How many credits does he have?
I can't count. I can't count that high. Let's put it this way. He started in 1955, probably did, on average, two movies a year until 2021 with Cry Macho.
2021. Can you imagine that?
I mean, Richard Jewell. I didn't even hear that. The Mule we just did.
Yeah.
517 to Paris. He was in that. What?
Right.
Sully. I mean.
With non-actors, right?
This guy's incredible. Incredible. Yeah. I mean, just for the sake of being a Clint Eastwood fan, I think I got to watch it.
Here, let me give you the top three numbers, all right?
Okay, give me the top three numbers.
72 acting credits.
So he's been in 72 movies.
72 movies.
Okay.
You know, official. 52 producer credits.
Wow.
And 45 director credits.
Wow, he's directed 45 movies?
45 movies.
You know, and here's the thing. He could have stopped 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And I mean, his legacy is profound.
Right.
His what would you call it? Like his what do they call it when you get paid for not doing anything, because like residuals.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, his residuals probably come in, like he gets probably thousands, tens of thousands of dollars a month just from like streaming services and such. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the dude loves the work.
Right.
He does it for the love of the work. I mean, he never, like, it's like me. I'm 55. I'm retiring. You know, I always say, I might stay, I might not. But he does it for the love of the work. And that's what's so amazing.
I can't believe he directed Firefox. He started directing in 1971.
This is the crazy thing, though, right? The Kevin Bacon, the degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Oh, yeah.
How many degrees are there of Clint Eastwood? It's got to be like one. One degree of Kevin Bacon. It's like 3 degrees of Kevin Bacon, whatever. It's got to be 1 degree of Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, too easy.
I mean, the guy's been in everything. Moving on from Clint Eastwood.
Yes.
So we've had a month, lots of watching.
Of course, we're not going to get through it all.
We're not going to get into everything.
Let me start with the what we're not watching, what I'm not watching.
Is that a shorter list, what you're not watching?
No, it's just consequential, because the reason I'm not watching it is because of you.
What? Like, okay, go.
So Ted Lasso, you know, like
it
was on. It started when we were in Hawaii.
It did.
And Audrey said Ted Lasso premiered, and I'm like, yeah, and I'm exhausted, and we're gonna get up tomorrow at 5:30 in the morning to drive to Hana. You know what I mean? We got up early every single morning, so every night we're pooped, you know. So we weren't doing any streaming. The kids watched a little TV, but we didn't watch much of anything. And then when I got back and we had our weekend together, you were like, did you watch Ted Lasso? And I was like, no. And you're like, thank God. Because what did you tell Clarissa? You're going to punch me in the face.
Yeah. It's like, really? You're in Hawaii on vacation, surfing with your family or whatever. You're, you know, going snorkeling, scuba diving, doing all the stuff you're doing. No, Ted's in the hotel room watching Ted Lasso. Yeah. I was going to be like so angry with you if you were watching Ted Lasso.
But I didn't. And then when I got back, I was like, I was going to watch it, going to watch it. Then we had our time together and you said, it's not as good as the first season. And yeah, and I have that. And I had that moment. And you're only like a couple episodes in, two, three episodes or whatever.
At the time.
And I'm like, every time I go to turn it on or to do something, I'm just like, nope, I'm working. I'm doing something else. I'm, you know, oh, I need to go up to the house. You know what I mean? Like, I find any excuse as I'm about to turn it on. I started watching Django Unchained the other day when I went turned on the TV to watch Ted Lasso. Instead, I watched the Django in the background again. Because, like, I don't want to be let down by the sophomore slump, you know, the season two slump. So please tell me that it's redeeming itself, that I should at least watch it, and then I'll have a new reason to get going here.
100%, yes, it is redeeming itself. It had a slow start, in my opinion.
Okay, good.
The slow start, I think, led into, and I'm not going to give any spoilers. I'm not going to, you know, just to be safe there, but it has led into a different frame of how they're presenting the team.
Good.
I guess that's all I'm going to say about it. But
that's all you have to say. Okay. Just say,
yeah,
Ted, please watch it. It's not as bad as you think.
Well worth watching.
Okay.
Tonight was the latest episode. We didn't watch it because we did watch A Bad Batch instead with the boys. And then we recorded. But where we left off, an unexpected episode.
Okay.
For what they celebrated.
All right.
However, definitely if watched out of context from the time of year you're watching it, you're like, great, this is a great episode. It was really a lot of fun. And it's coming together nicely.
Okay.
I'll say that. So
awesome.
The season is redeeming itself. And I still say the first season was better. But the second season is improving each episode and redeeming themselves with each episode.
Awesome. Good. So it's building. It started.
It's building.
It started slow. It didn't pick up where it left off. It kind of backtracked a little bit, and now it's gonna pick up ahead of steam, so to speak.
That's correct.
Good pacing. That's good television. That's good.
I'm looking forward to you watching it, okay, so great. We could discuss and talk. And I'm curious what your thoughts are, and if you'll have a similar critique of mine.
Okay, great. I look forward to it, and I will get to watching now. So, but you mentioned Bad Batch. Let's talk about Bad Batch because we too have caught up to Bad Batch and we're.
So we are not caught up. We are two episodes behind. Sounds like you're caught up.
We are caught up. We have finished the series, the season.
Okay, we just finished where Kamino got blown up and they rode the tubes back to the surface.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's either the second to last or the one right before that. So
yeah. So we're nearing the end.
You're only one behind.
We're nearing the end, but
you know what's interesting. So Bryce, he always wants to watch Bad Batch, and he knows that he has to wait for me. So there's a lot of time.
That's how the boys are.
Before school started, you know, we were watching it and there was that lull coming back from Hawaii and then school hasn't started yet. So there's a lot of time where he could be watching stuff and he wants to watch Bad Batch, but he knows he has to wait for me. So instead of watching Bad Batch, what he does is it's a kind of this amazing thing. He found the section of Clone Wars.
Okay.
The later seasons where the Bad Batch is kind of prominent, and he plays those episodes.
Wait, they're in the Clone Wars?
They're in the Clone Wars season six or seven.
Okay, we haven't gotten that far with the Clone Wars. That's why.
So they have a whole arc within there, and Hunter and all the guys, all the people are in there. And they have quite a prominent role through this, you know, through this arc, you know, through this story arc.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because then, you know, as I come in, you know, from working and, you know, it's 6 o'clock and I'm ready to, you know, get ready for dinner and we can turn on one of the episodes. Like he'll, while we're cooking dinner, he's still watching the Bad Batch episodes of Clone Wars. So I get it in the background. I see like an episode or two while we're cooking dinner and getting ready. And then we're like, all right, we're ready to watch Bad Batch. So we turn on the Bad Batch and they're like, they're referencing, remember that time you saved me on this other planet? You know what I mean? And
oh, really?
And he had just watched his episodes and I had watched them kind of while we're cooking dinner and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, Bryce, you look at that. You tie. And he's like, I didn't even know. But yeah, this is what I'm doing. Like, you know, he wants Bad Batch.
Oh, that's so cool. That.
So it's interesting. It's interesting when they save who's the cyborg one? The
Crosseye or whatever?
No, Crosshair.
Crosshair?
Crosshair is the guy who double-crossed them, but...
Right.
Demo? No.
No, I don't know, but I know who you're talking about.
Anyway, the guy who has, like, the headpiece that's, like, more computer.
Exactly.
They had to, like, go back and save him, and Hunter's big thing is no man left behind kind of thing, you know? And that was the big thing, and then they kind of echoed it in the later episodes of Bad Batch, and I was just like, oh, it's a great way to watch. And I was like, oh, good job, Bryce, on finding those.
That's so cool.
Those key episodes of that to watch. What else?
We watched The Sandlot with the boys.
Oh, okay.
Totally holds up.
Oh, that's amazing. I love that.
Yeah, totally holds up. Got the boys really involved. Like, we've been playing baseball like ever since. You know, such a fun movie. We all laughed. I mean, it was so good.
Your neighbors have dogs? No neighbors with dogs.
No, we got neighbors with dogs.
Oh, okay. See, a little bit of that there, you know.
Yeah, it was such a good movie though. We didn't watch any of the sequels, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the original Sandlot. And then on Disney Plus, no, not Disney Plus, Apple TV Plus.
Okay.
We watched 1971.
19.
And I don't remember the subtitle, but it was like 1971. The subtitle is something along the lines of like the world's or the best year of music or something.
Oh, okay. Documentary.
And it was a documentary all about the music of 19. My birth year was 1971.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I said, oh, let's watch this. We'll see what the music was like. No bull. It was like 1971 is like the best music of all time.
Like what? Like,
I mean, Exile on Main Street, Rolling Stones.
Okay.
You know, like it's unbelievable.
Blue Oyster Cult. Is that like, is there a Blue Oyster Cult? Or?
No, I forget everything, but Sly and the Family Stone.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Elton John.
Nice.
You know, I mean, it was such a great documentary, you know, and it pulled in a lot of the political turmoil and it pulled in just all the racial strife, everything that's happening.
Yeah.
And Clarissa looks at me and she said, wow, 50 years and nothing's changed.
Still dealing with the same shit. Like for 50
yeah,
years.
she's like, wow, it's been 50 years and nothing's changed. It's all the same.
Her and Anne can kvetch about that.
And then my mom turned us on to Manifest.
Okay.
It reminds me of Lost. 24.
Oh, 24 and Lost mixed.
Well, yeah, 24 Lost, and not that it's anything to do with the show itself, but it's like network TV. Bad acting.
Oh, no.
Everything, every episode ends at a cliffhanger.
High stakes. Yeah, high stakes. Highest stakes of everything.
Yeah, yeah, you know. And, like, it's like, if you watch 24 back in the day, every time, every episode, oh, my God, it's the greatest show ever.
Right.
You go back now, you're like, this is terrible.
I'm getting gas at the corner of White Oak and
I don't have time. Damn it.
I told you my hack for 24 is you at least save 2 weeks and you just watch 10 minutes into the next episode because they always wrap up the cliffhanger within 10 minutes.
I like
in the
that.
Cold open of the next season of the next episode of 24. Beep. Yeah. Beep. By the time right. that boop boop happens, turn it off, and then you got next. You got half of the next episode, and then the next episode.
There you go. Yeah. So Manifest is like, you know, it's just this airplane thing and stuff. Whatever. The story doesn't even matter.
People get lost or something, right? People go missing.
Yeah, it's like 5 years later, and this hiccup in flight and stuff doesn't even matter. You know. But the acting's terrible. The storytelling is meh, you know, but because it ends on a cliffhanger, you're always like, oh,
you're hooked.
I gotta watch the next one to see, you know, like it just gets you. We watched all the Marvel movies.
Okay. You finished it up. Finally. Awesome.
But for Endgame.
Oh, you haven't seen Endgame yet?
No, I've seen it. The boys haven't.
Okay.
So Saturday, tomorrow night, we're going to, because my mom came and everything, and
yeah, a lot of,
and
lot
I
of,
told
yeah.
the boys, I said, yeah, I don't know if grandma's going to like Endgame or not. So we put it on hold. We put on hiatus for a couple weeks. So we're going to finish Endgame tomorrow. We're going to have popcorn, the whole nine, to celebrate the final movie. But we watched all the other ones.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously, another thing too is Lego Masters on Fox.
I still have to watch that. I really want to watch that.
It's great. I mean, it's reality TV, whatever. It's cheesy, but
it's better than what, I mean, you could stab my eyes out if I'm doing Bachelorette or something.
Yeah, it's better than Dancing with the Stars and all that kind of stuff. And Bryce being into Lego and stuff, he would totally dig it.
Yeah.
The boys love it, you know. And even we watched one episode while my mom was here. We watched that one episode and she was like, oh my God, I can't wait to see more. You know, she was into it and stuff. So, yeah. 101 Dalmatians.
Okay.
Fan favorite, you know, the old cartoon, and then Jupiter's Legacy, which is it went off the rails bizarre.
Jumped the shark a long time ago.
No, it's not where it starts is not where it ends. If you wanted to talk really quick, because we did finish Loki.
Okay, yeah.
So you were saying like we couldn't, our last episode, 166 recorded, you were saying we couldn't talk about Loki because Loki had like a twist at the end or whatever.
Right.
But we can talk about Loki now because we're all done.
Nice. All right.
So what were your thoughts? What'd you think?
So my thoughts is it's a, you know, it's a fable against corporate America. You know what I mean? I think it's, you know, the same way.
Okay.
The way that my favorite line of yours is, it doesn't take 8 hours to do
8 hours work,
a day's work, you know, 8 hours work. And I felt like that's kind of the way pruning a timeline is, you know, like the sacred timeline is the timeline for the TVA. You know, what's best for the sacred timeline is best for the TVA. And a lot of times that's kind of the new mantra in business. You know, what's best for the company is best for the employees of that company, you know? And if you deviate, if you try to branch off of that timeline, then you're not doing what's best for the company and you probably need to be pruned, you know? So I think that was interesting to me.
Huh. Okay. And I didn't think of it that way.
And then the funny thing is that TVA is actually an acronym for a part of Disney called Television Animation. So that's TVA internally.
Interesting.
And I was talking to somebody in Hawaii who was like an illustrator, you know, an illustrator in high school, a senior in high school. And he's like, oh, I would love to come to work for Disney. You know, I can send you my portfolio, some drawings. And I was like, yeah, my email address. And then I said, oh, yeah, I know some people at...
I'll lead this kid along.
I know some people at the TVA. And he was like, the TVA? Like Loki TVA? I was like, no. Television Animation. Like, and he's like, oh, okay. I thought you were making a joke about Loki and stuff. And I was like, no, I guess that's a joke now. But, you know, it's funny.
Well, and did you notice, though, like all the different Lokis was like Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse?
Yeah, no, it had that little inkling of that live action.
Yeah, where you had all the different like Peter Porker and all that stuff, yeah, right?
You had the alligator Loki, you know, so yeah.
Exactly. You had all the weird Lokis, like you had all the weird Spider-Mans.
Yeah. So that was fun and interesting. What were your thoughts? What did you think of Kang?
Yeah, I would say that the thing that I took most from it was it brought everything back around to like when they were talking. I don't remember the Skarsgård character.
Oh yeah.
When he was explaining the different universes lining up or whatever.
Uh-huh.
You know, when they attack New York.
Right.
But it helped me better understand the Avengers. The Avengers movie when they attacked New York and you had all the different I don't know what you call them, like the universes, or what do they call them again? The
multiverse, the Shakari,
the multiverses,
yeah,
you know, whatever it was. But
okay,
but it helped me better understand where everybody kind of fit into the realm of all the, you know, the Guardians of the Galaxy and how they fit into where the Earth is,
yeah,
and where, you know, Thor and Loki come from and just all that sort of thing.
So it feels like, so Kang the Conqueror, he knows all through the sacred timeline, and he had been culling the sacred timeline to this one point in time, which was that one point where the three of them come together. And he goes, I know everything up until this point. So it really is this point in time.
Now everybody's moving forward from there.
Now it's a clean slate.
Exactly. Right.
Now we can write our own. Now we have free will again. You know what I mean? And Kang's, he's kind of retired. It's kind of the Bob Iger swan song of like, oh, I'm going to step down and you guys can run the company, but I'll be right over here, you know, chairman of the board.
It's like Clint Eastwood.
Right? keep stay there and just keep going. But yeah, so I think it's interesting to kind of step aside and let other people do it. It felt like Kang was, you know, he had the burden of that power and the burden of knowledge. And he was kind of unburdened by the fact that he couldn't see past this moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I will say that, the female Loki, I'm going to get.
Overall, I know who you're talking about, the female Loki. And overall, I mean, I would say of the series, when we look at WandaVision and mm-hmm. Winter Soldier, Captain America, Winter Soldier, Loki, I think right now is one of my favorite ones. I thought.
It's top for me. For sure.
Yeah, I thought it was phenomenal. And I have to say, I remember a while back when you said Ragnarok was your favorite Marvel movie.
Yeah.
And I have to agree with you. I think I'm right there with it.
Awesome.
You know, the first time I saw it, I didn't really
appreciate it.
I didn't appreciate it for what it was. And then when you're watching it, you're like, this movie is like fantastic.
Right. And you can almost say it's all because of Taika Waititi. I would say Taika Waititi is turning out to be,
he's the director of that.
He's the director, but he's turning out to be, you know, what I love about Quentin Tarantino from the 90s, you know, his auteur, his power, his storytelling, his love of the craft and the love of this crew of actors. And like, he did everything so tightly and so well wound up in those 10, 20 years. Taika Waititi is finding his space in this current decade. And from Jojo Rabbit to, you know, this move to Ragnarok and Love and Thunder, I'm really looking forward to the next Thor movie. So, and you know, I think he's doing Guardians of the Galaxy. No, he's not doing Guardians. Well, I don't know. He's in the Marvel Universe pretty wholeheartedly. And I think he's just an amazing auteur to be able to function as an auteur within a machine.
Because he was the rock guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was Kang. He was like, not Kang.
Korg. Korg. That's yeah. Right.
Well, your kids and you are in for a minding treat in Endgame when you get back to, you know, the Thor in the new Asgard, you know, in the Scandinavian country with Kang, with Korg playing video games, you know.
And the fat Thor.
Yeah, the fat Thor.
Yeah, I love
it's
that.
It's going to be amazing, so. Yes.
I guess let's finish up. What else have you guys seen or not seen? Or, well, I guess not seen is weird because you can't prove a negative. But
well, I will tell you. Let me just end on a couple of items. So
okay,
the only thing we did watch while we're away was kind of just like this brainless Netflix documentary, which was just mind-numbingly fun. The Films That Made Us.
Yeah, we've seen that.
We did the Back to the Future.
Back to the Future, yep.
And Pretty Woman. Those two are
did not
so,
do that one.
So phenomenal.
Oh,
the way how different they were from what they were expected to be, and
okay,
you know, and I knew about the whole Eric Stoltz thing,
right?
But just the depth at which that they go into it was amazing, and then just the idea of, you know, Alex P. Keaton, Michael J. Fox, thinking that he failed because he was so tired doing both. You know, Family Ties in the day and, you know, Back to the Future at night. And he was sleeping in between the rides between the two sets. And, you know, and on premiere night, he's expecting a call to say how horrible it did because he phoned it in with such a exhausted delivery. But it worked. It worked on every level. And it was just amazing. And he's just something so special that it was an amazing thing.
Yeah. So Pretty Women. I'll have to watch that one, though. Pretty.
Just singular. Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman. Yeah. Pretty Women.
That's Little Women. You mashed them two up. That'd be funny to make a movie that's Pretty Women. And it's a mix of Little Women and Pretty Woman. That'd be cool.
But I did see the... the Back to the Future one, and it was so great. I loved it. So that's cool that you watch, you know, and it's one of those kind of documentaries. It's just like, I don't feel like getting into anything heavy. Let's just do this, you know.
And then because we were in Hawaii one night and fell asleep much earlier than I did, and I was just like, just turn on HBO, watch whatever's on. I watched the 100-Foot Wave documentary where the guy takes, you know, he goes around the world to try to catch this 100-foot wave out off the coast of Portugal.
Well, and you're in Hawaii, yeah. And you're learning to surf.
Exactly.
So, of course, you're going to watch the 100-foot wave. So right. It completely scares you away from surfing.
Right, exactly. And yet, this little 2-foot wave is kicking my ass because I can't stay upright on this thing.
I love that.
But then I watch, then I watch White Lotus. And White Lotus has been getting
White Lotus
good reviews. People like it, you know.
What but platform?
It's HBO Max.
Okay.
HBO's limited series, you know, about a bunch of different families going to a very exclusive resort in Hawaii. So,
oh boy.
It was there, and it has Alexandria Daddario, which is one of my favorite actresses. So I watch it from the middle, right? I watch just the episode that's on the linear television in the hotel. So I'm just picking it up in the middle, and, you know, rarely I would watch that. And I could have turned on my HBO Max and watched it from the beginning. But I was like, I'm not really into it. I just want to watch something because I'm trying to fall asleep, whatever. So I'm watching this, and it's a pretty good episode. And I like the episode, and I could, you know, I got what was going on, and I picked up on the characters, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. So then we finally get home, and I was like, you know, two nights ago, I said, let me start watching this from the beginning, right? And there's this married couple, right? And Daddario is one of the married couple, and they kind of are having like a spat through the episode that I saw. And the very beginning of the first episode is the husband, right? Sitting in the airport with sunglasses on. And the first 5 minutes of the first episode, he's there talking to the strangers in the airport, and he's talking about a body being loaded on the plane, and he has to go back with the body, and he doesn't explain who the body is. But then he walks over and, you know, he tells this couple that's trying to be nice and trying to be, and he's just like, shut the fuck up, you know, to the stranger couple. And the old stranger couple's like, oh my god, what's going on? And then he walks over to the window, and they have this, you know, this pine box being loaded to the bottom of this airplane. And then they cut to 3 weeks earlier, 1 week earlier, 2 weeks earlier, whatever it is. And then it's like them arriving at the island. And I was like, oh man, how different is this show now with this premise of those first 5 minutes? Like, you miss those first 5 minutes, and it's a completely different show than the show I was watching two, three episodes in, you know?
Yeah.
So So now I'm excited to keep watching that, but, you know, we'll see.
And what's the name of that one?
White Lotus.
White Lotus.
And I was making White Lotus jokes the whole time we were in Hawaii because...
No, I'd expect you to make, like, Fantasy Island jokes or something.
It felt a little like Fantasy Island. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, every time the kids wanted to be like... Every time the kids started to whine about something while we're on vacation and they're complaining about something, I'm like... Don't get too White Lotus on us here. You know what I mean? Because it's like rich people complaining about vacationing in this, you know, in the most exclusive place in Hawaii. And we were not in the most exclusive place in Hawaii. But, you know, I just don't want my kids to complain about being on vacation.
It's like, this is something most people don't get to do. Why are you complaining? You know? No, I totally get that. All right, Ted. So how'd the beer finish for you?
Amazing. Amazing. It finished a little bit ago. As you know, my air conditioning out here is very loud, so I turned it off when we started, and it is warm.
Is it hot there?
Warmed up a little bit in here, but the beer handled the warmth, and I love ale. I mean, I can't. Well, I mean, what is this? This is a porter?
No, it's a stout.
Stout? Okay. So full stout.
Yeah, it was a stout.
So stout's in that line of ales, right?
Yeah, no, stout's an ale. Yeah. For sure.
So, I mean, I'm into ales. I've tried to do some lagers, but other than the novelty lagers of like black lagers or like a couple other lagers, I just can't do lagers.
Here's the thing. Lagers tend to be lower in alcohol. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're working in the yard. It's hot. You drink a lager because it's a little bit crisper. It's a little bit more refreshing. It's lower in alcohol. And, you know, you're cutting the grass, whatever, you won't lose your fingers. You start drinking like ales and 10%ers and stuff, man, you're just gonna go lay down under the tree in the shade, you know, and hope not the lawnmower finish. Doesn't run you over, you know. And yeah, exactly.
Oh, I do want, so. if we get a lawn back, I do want that Works automatic Roomba lawnmower.
I was gonna say, is it like one of those robot cutters?
Yeah it's gonna be so good.
Yeah, why would you not do that? I mean, hit go and it just cuts grass. Yeah, I mean, it's just, yeah, I agree. It's like vacuuming. Who wants to vacuum? Well, good. I'm glad you like the beer. I'm going to be brewing tomorrow.
Okay.
So have you ever had a Wookie Jack, a Firestone Wookie Jack?
Yeah, I have had that. You did a clone of that?
Yeah, I'm going to do a Wookie Jack clone tomorrow.
Nice,
Tons of hops.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. We'll see how it goes. I mean, it should be good. It's... Best way to describe it, I think, is like a black IPA.
Okay.
So, and I'm assuming it'll be somewhere around 9% ABV.
Nice.
So, 100 plus IBU, 9% ABV, and, you know, we'll see. But I'm going to be doing that tomorrow. Clarissa's working weekends now.
Okay.
Well, Saturdays now. So she's off Wednesdays, part of the boys' schedule and stuff. So we have to switch things around. But yeah. So that's where we are with beer, I guess. So I'll have to be getting you some of that homebrew then.
Awesome. We'll have to come up. I think we're coming. We're heading up that way. We're going to head to Pebble Beach soon. In a couple weeks. We'll swing by or something.
Visit the friends.
That's right.
Yeah. So yeah, you're always welcome, man. You know that.
Awesome.
So. All right, Ted, we'll talk to you, man.
All right. Talk to you later. See ya.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the Holy Trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.